And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What's going on, listeners? This is RBLR Bucks, your source for all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers football. Well, the sun's high, the streets are sizzling, and you already know we got another fiery debate for this Bucks squad tonight. Of course, shout out to the rest of our RBLR Bucks crew holding it down for the Bay, the Rays, Sun, Bolts, and you already know what time it is. Special salute to the Tampa Bay Rowdies, who just came out with a dominant 3-1 win. I was there, and let me tell you, it's worth the drive. I figured I'd just give them a little special shout-out moment, you know, a little proud moment for the city, especially with the interesting season they've had going on. But, me mateys, tonight, again, it's all about that red, white, and blue. And I mean that because, again, we're doing a little bit of a league-wide reflection. We're going to be looking, you know, we're gonna pass on looking at the past and rush to defend our thoughts about the future, if you get what I'm saying. So, but during this time, please do drop your hottest takes. Let us know how you feel. You know, maybe we rank one guy, you know, real up high, and you're thinking, oh, my God, what is wrong with y'all? And this guy's not top 10. But that being said, you know, this show is nothing without my iconic duo. All right, this week, we're bringing the heat with a new tandem in the trenches. So forget your usual pairings. We're going back to 2000. This duo is rolling in like Warrick Dunn and Keyshawn Johnson, a duo built to cause havoc and cook takes in the backfield. One slicing, one's dicing. You already know what it is. First in the rotation, he's sharp, relentless, and always ready to collapse on the pocket on weak narratives. He's a shifty playmaker of the podcast game, sending up big gains with every word. Our Warrick Dunn of the airwaves, Mr. Zach Blaine. What's the good word, my friend?
Oh, man, a whole lot after that, brother. I'm telling you, every week it gets better and better, man. I get more and more pumped up when it comes to you, man. How are you doing,
I'll
brother?
I'll tell you this. I'm doing well, man. You know, each week I have to think. I want to come up with another iconic duo. So it allows me to, you know, gain a little bit more knowledge on Bucks history. So lining up beside him, it's the verbal wrecking ball. Fast hands, fast thoughts, and never backing down from the smoke. He's the contested catch master of the commentary, always coming down with the toughest takes. Our Keyshawn Johnson of the microphone, Mr. Carter Brentley. How are you doing, man, tonight?
Keyshawn Johnson, that's wonderful. I'm doing great after that. After that label, I love Keyshawn Johnson. He's just got the, you know, he's got all the flair of the that you want out of a wide receiver. But yeah, I'm excited to talk. Pat, like you kind of alluded to, we're going to be talking about some pass rushers today, so that should be kind of fun because there's a lot of really great pass rushers in the NFL, and you know, it's hard to only pick 10 of them, right? And then it's even harder to rank them. But first, we did have a little bit of Bucks news recently. Jason Light and Todd Bowles were both given contract extensions. I don't know if y'all have maybe seen how many years they got. I didn't see any specifics about it, but I thought it was really interesting. It was really cool to see Jason Light rewarded. He's done a really tremendous job. In fact, I saw this one thread on Twitter talking about how they've spent almost the least on offensive line in the NFL, and yet because he does such a great job of drafting at that position, they're ranking
42 of them every year.
Right. I know it angers Zach Blaine to no end, but they do get results. You know, they've had very good offensive lines over the years, but I do feel you. But it's, you know, it's kind of a fun thing. Jason Light, Todd Bowles are both getting extensions. They've just had an unprecedented run of success for this franchise. So what are y'all's thoughts? What are y'all's initial feelings about it? Zach, I know you might be a little bit weird about the Todd Bowles extension, but you can start with the Jason Light extension if you want to go positive first.
Yeah, as far as Jason Light goes, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I mean, I'm not happy. I'm not mad. I don't really care. He's done good. I'm not taking that away from him. I don't like his style of GMing. Like, I don't like the no big game hunting necessarily. I take out the Tom Brady year, and there's not really any big game hunting in Tampa. So outside of that, like, that's the one thing that irritates me with him is it's just he's kind of a boring GM. I don't even know how to say it any differently. I feel bad because he's got the results. I'm not hating on him. I'm not taking anything away from him. It's just, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing an all-star pass rusher a Pro Bowl pass rusher be signed or a legitimate starting corner being signed out of free agency instead of hoping that we get a good one in the draft when we even draft them.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not, you know, it's not the splashiness of the, like, the Rams during when they were winning the Super Bowl. You know, they're making all those trades and stuff. It's definitely not, you know, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, you know, bringing in a bunch of help. You know, I don't know. It's definitely dealing with the cards that you're dealt, so to speak, you know, playing the hand that you're dealt. It's kind of one of those things, but I do feel you. It is frustrating.
Long enough, these are his cards that he dealt to himself, brother.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
I think he's one of the longest tenured GMs now.
Yeah, that's not true. If not the longest. Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely been at the position for a very long time. And recently, I can't argue with the results. Like you said, he's definitely gotten to the right place. The journey has been a little bit wonky. It's been, you know, fraught with some hits and some misses, but, you know, what GM is not, you know, we can talk about, oh gosh, the Eagles GM. How do I not remember his name?
Howie Roseman.
Howie Roseman. Yeah. We can talk about how he drafted Derek Barnett, you know, top five or whatever, or he drafted, what's Jalen his name?
Rager.
Yeah. Jalen Rager over Justin Jefferson.
Hey, he's a stud now.
Yeah, for sure.
On that.
Yeah. You know, the 49ers drafted Solomon Thomas third overall. They drafted Trey Lance third overall and traded three.
Okay. All right. Did any of them draft a kicker in the second round?
That's true. That's true. But I don't know. Like the second round pick of a kicker is awful in terms of, you know, comparatively, but I think Trey Lance might have had a bigger and negative impact on the team. But anyways, that's getting into weird conversations. But Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? What were your thoughts on these extensions?
So from what I remember, I think it's 3 years for Todd Bowles, and then I think multi-year, that's all I was, you know, informed of when it comes to Jason Light. But yeah, when it comes to the Jason Light, it's kind of like, you know, as y'all said already, I mean, yeah, sure, he's boring, but there's just more reasons to keep him than get rid of him.
For sure.
And it just, you know, especially such a big role like that, you know, you have big shoes to fill if you do, you know, move on to the next guy, whoever that is. And, you know, it's, of course, always having familiarity. Now, with Todd Bowles, that's also kind of just like, you know, he keeps taking the boys to the top of, you know, the NFC Crap Mountain.
Offensive coordinator keeps taking them to the top of Crap Mountain because his defense continues to fail us. What he's good at fails us every season.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I mean, we still make it to the playoffs. I mean, it's not like he's completely screwing over our defense. And, I mean, guys, you know, the injury bug is, you know, biting the hell out of our DBs, I feel like, these last couple of years. So I don't want to just only put it on Todd Bowles, but I'm happy with it. It's not something I'm, like, you know, super excited about. It's kind of understandable. It's kind of just more like just a nice corporate decision, I guess. You know, you just want to keep the guys. They're, you know, they're keeping, you know, the boat still floating.
Yeah.
That's even the right thing to say.
Yeah. So, the pirate ship is still floating.
Yeah. Right. The pirate ship's still floating. So, yeah. I mean, especially, I don't know where I saw the stat, but the Buccaneers have had a lot of success compared to, I think, any other team in the league, like, these last 5 years. Of course, it helps being in such a crappy division, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you can only play the teams that you play. You know, it's tough to punish them too much for it, but also you don't want to give them too much credit for it either. It's hard to strike that balance. So, yeah, I was a bit surprised that they gave an extension to Bowles, frankly, just because, you know, like y'all have been saying, the defense is underperformed, to say the least. So it is a bit surprising that they would give him the extension, but at the same time, you know, I get how it would be weird to give Jason Light an extension and just say, hey, Bowles, go play on a 1 year contract. You know, it's kind of an awkward thing, you know, so I do sort of understand it. And they're an NFL franchise. If Todd Bowles goes out and craps the bed this year, they can fire him and eat the money.
That's the one thing keeping my hopes up right now.
Yeah. Like this isn't like, you know, they're not dealing, you know, they're not scrapping by. They're an NFL franchise. They can afford to eat some head coaching salary if they really needed to. So it's not the end all be all, but I did think it was kind of interesting. So we'll see how that develops. We'll see how that plays out. But now we'll get into the fun part of the episode, because that could be, you know, the extensions were fine. It was just kind of boring. Like Musab said, kind of status quo. But this is the fun part. We're talking about edge rushers. I loved how the way we did it last week, Mr. Tariq. We did the first five and then the last five in the second half of the episode. So I think we'll do that again, a little bit more digestible, so we're not just yammering on for a long time. But Zach, I'll let you kick us off with your top five edge rushers. Who you got?
All right. Leading off, I mean, I think I'd be shocked if we didn't all have number one, Myles Garrett. Like, he's led the NFL in PFF pass rush grade with a 92.8. He led the league in total pressures, tied for the lead in total pressures with 83. Led with the pass rush win rate. There we go. We'll get it out eventually.
There you go.
23.1 and a pressure rate of 18.1. So he led the league in all those stats. I mean, there's just – it doesn't seem to be that he's slowing down at all. Which then you've got – this one is a bit of a what could have been, in my opinion. I'm going Aiden Hutchinson at two. I think had he not gotten hurt last season, we would have been talking about him at number one this year.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
Was on record pace. He had the most pass rush wins in 6 weeks in modern NFL history. And that was only in five games because Detroit had a bye week in week five. So he was an animal. There's just no other way to put it. I think had he not been hurt, we would have been talking about a new leader in the NFL, and not only in standings, but in the record books. He was on that kind of a pace. Three, I've got Micah Parsons. Had a bit of a down year last year because he got hurt, but it was the at least 70 pressures the last four seasons. Honestly, deserves a new contract, and I don't like Micah Parsons as a player, but I can't deny that he's a great pass rusher. So I've got him at third. Fourth, I've got Trey Hendrickson. Led the league in sacks. Also had, I believe, was tied for first with 83 pressures. He was – this is the second year he's been towards the top of the league and everything. Deserves that contract extension that Cincinnati is refusing to give him. All in all, I mean, just could not have been a better player, especially I put him this high because he was also the only guy on Cincinnati. Like, he was the only threat on Cincinnati's defense. So, you know, props to him for getting that 20% win rate and 17 and a half sacks when he was double teamed a lot last season. And then five, I've got Max Crosby. A down year because he got hurt, but this was the – he hasn't graded below a 94 or a 90, my bad, a 90 in the last four seasons. This season he did because he had an ankle injury in week two, which kind of derailed him a little bit. Averaged 94 pressures a season over the last 4 years, so he's just kind of been all around a stud. In another situation where he's the only one on – Oakland, well, Las Vegas now, that has been any kind of a threat on a D-line. So that's my top five.
Yeah. That's a really solid top five. I think I'll get into mine real quick. I had Myles Garrett as well, number one. Like you said, I think we're going to be unanimous in that regard. But then I had Micah Parsons second, kind of for all the reasons you listed, just really, really dominant over the past few years, really since he entered the league. And then I had Trey Hendrickson, number three. Just, you know, he was a sack leader. It's tough not to put him in the top three. But I had Aiden Hutchinson fourth. And like you said, man, if he doesn't get hurt, he's number one. Like, I am fully behind that, absolutely. But I am concerned how he'll bounce back from that injury.
Rightfully so. It's a serious injury. It's not a fluke injury. Like, it's bad. So that's completely understandable.
And I hope he comes back because he is – like you said, he's an exciting player, one of the best in football. If he comes back even like 80%, he'll still probably be the fourth best pass rusher. It's just if he had come back full health, like if he can come back full health, he'll probably shoot up to number one or number two. So, yeah, really, really impressive stuff, even in a small sample size in this season, because he's been good over the years, pretty much similar to Micah as soon as he entered the NFL. He's been great. And then I had Nick Bosa, number five. He was third in win rate this year. He's been at or near the top in most of those categories. Obviously, Max Crosby is a great shout, and I'll have him lower in my list. But, yeah, Nick Bosa eked it out just because, like you said, Max Crosby had an ankle injury this year, it's tough to discount his previous seasons, but Nick Bosa has just been that good. You know, it's tough to discount Nick Bosa. He's been great. So I really liked your top five though, Zach. I thought that was tremendous. And Max Crosby could easily be top five this year if he has a healthy season, like, you know, without hesitation. I'll be interested to see who he bumps off though, because it's a loaded position. There's so much talent.
And that's what I like about this list. And when we hear Musab's, I'm sure he's got five different ones or at least different orders. And I love it because outside of number one, I think that all of the top 10, like, realistically, they could go almost anywhere on the list. And this was a fun one to do some research on.
Oh, yeah. And it's not one of those things where, like, I mean, Myles Garrett is in a tier of his own, but the rest, it's not like, oh, it's, you know, these guys are really good and these are kind of meh. Like, they're all outstanding.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Yeah, it's not because there's a lack of it. It's because there's so much. So, Mr. Treat, give us your top five. Who you got?
Yes, sir. All right. Well, I'm going to go with Myles Garrett at number one. Not because y'all said so, but it's just I feel like, you know, it's one of the facts of life at this point.
Right.
Absolute just unblockable edge. Consistent, just consistently gets double teamed, but he just destroys it. He's just an absolute dog. You know what I'm saying? It's a darn shame he plays for the Browns, but that's another story. Yeah. Anyways, number two, I'm actually going to go Micah Parsons. Zach, I'm right there with you. I'm not a huge Micah Parsons fan, but I mean, he is also an absolute dog. I mean, he recorded 75 pressures despite missing four games. Still young. He got like a 20% like win rate. So, I mean, even, you know, on PFF, he was ranked really high. And then, I mean, this again, guys, this is kind of where it gets, you know, a little bit more fluid. I mean, these guys can go up and down. I'm going to go Trey Hendrickson at number three. I got to give him respect. I mean, 17 and a half sacks, tied for first in pressures. Pass rush win rate was also like top five.
See, that is hard to say. I'm not the only one.
It is, man. It is. So, no, again, it's, yeah, I feel bad. You know, the Bengals defense is atrocious, but to think that he's the only spotlight, you know, on that defense and, you know, opponents still can't slow him down when all eyes are on him, that's pretty damn impressive. So, I mean, I got to put him at number three. Number four, I'm going to go Nick Bosa, young guy. I've heard, you know, good things so far for the offseason. He is participating in OTAs. I mean, he had a great season last year, even though he missed three games. 69 pressures, pass rush win rate was like, what, top six? So definitely up there as well. And look, guys, Trey Hendrickson, Nick Bosa, I mean, these guys are also really young. They got plenty of, you know, more gas in the tank. And speaking of, at number five, just because of the kind of, you know, injury situation and all that, but I think Aiden Hutchinson has to be up there, of course. I mean, what he did from week one to five was insane. So hoping to see what he does this year. You know, hopefully he just stays healthy and all everything goes well. But, oh, man, he is, again, an absolute dog. So, yeah, those are my top five. I feel like we have some similarities. And it's not easy even looking at 6 of 10. But, yeah, I like what's going on in the pass rush world.
Yeah. There's just, you know, it's such an important position. And I think a big part of this is that, you know, people are getting paid for doing this, you know, like even average to below average pass rushers are getting a nice little check. And I think players are realizing that coming through the systems, coming through high school, college and all that. So if you're uber athletic, like go line up on the defensive line, like you'll get a nice reward for it. And it's just, you know, it's a loaded position. It's really, really good. If you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe, though, if you're looking for the edge rusher group in terms of clothing to upgrade some of your summer attire, look at Mr. Tariq. He's got it.
You already know.
That's right. We've got some fire stuff there. Shop.rblrsports.com is where he got it. So if you want to be like Mr. Musab Tariq, then definitely head there and check it out. We all want to be like Musab Tariq. So, you know, got to head there. And we'll give you a promo code, Canon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type it in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd certainly appreciate it. So heading to the – ooh, we got Mr. Ooh. Magic. The TJ Watt slander will not be tolerated.
Don't worry.
Listen, brother, it's coming up literally right now.
He's coming up. He's a difficult one for me. I'll kick things off with my list. I got Max Crosby at number six, and Jonathan Grenard at number seven. I don't know if y'all have Jonathan Grenard listed, but he was second in total pressures, only 12th in win rate. That's kind of what concerns me. But yeah, he was really outstanding this past season. And I have TJ Watt eight. I know that's probably not what it's probably not what y'all want to hear, TJ Watt fans. And it's definitely a little bit of TJ Watt disrespect, but he's getting older. And frankly, I don't know how he's as efficient as he is, because he does not rack up nearly as many pressures as some of his counterparts. But he's also fourth in PFF pass rush grade. Like, he is still an outstanding pass rusher. He's just not quite to the level, in my opinion, of Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons and a lot of these other players. But he's still great. You know, he's still outstanding. Seems to be a great leader in the locker room as well. So there's something to be said for that as well. And then I have Jared Verse at number nine. He led the NFL, or he was tied for the lead in the NFL in total pressures. He could very easily be top five next year. Like, he's kind of one of those guys that I kind of had to lower just because it's one season. You know, he was only a rookie, but oh man, he's on his way. Like, the Rams nailed that pick out of the park with that draft pick. Jared Verse, definitely a name to watch. And then I rounded out my list with Josh Hines Allen out of Jacksonville. He just has a pretty long track record, only 11th in win rate, but he's been really, really good throughout his career. One of the more consistent pass rushers in the NFL, never been like top five or anything, but he's always hovered around this area. So I had to give him some respect. And then my honorable mentions were Yaya Diaby. I think he could be low-key sneaking in the top 10 if he has a really good year, if he can stay healthy. Greg Rousseau, tied for seventh in total pressures. He was really, really good this year. Chop Robinson out of Miami, sixth in win rate. And then Brian Burns. I'm disappointed in myself that I couldn't find a spot for him, but I just couldn't. You know, he was an eighth in pass rush PFF grade, but you know, all these guys can be kind of interchangeable, especially 6 through 10. Like we've been mentioning, there's just so much talent at this position. So I had to include some honorable mentions just because there are so many guys that I want to talk about. But Mr. Treek, how about you, man? Who you got 6 through 10? Where do you have TJ Watt? Because apparently we're disrespecting him.
I actually had him at six, but I'm actually not, because of whoever just commented the TJ slander won't be tolerated. But, you know, looking at it now, I'm kind of thinking, I know there was that meme somewhere where it's like, you know, the future is, you know, young, or the future is now, old man, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
And I'm going to put Jared Verse at six. As a rookie, yeah, fourth most pressures. I mean, just absolute dog. When I was watching him, he was the only person I was watching it at when he was at FSU, especially after Jordan Travis went down. I mean,
yeah.
The team was interesting. But, I mean, Jared Verse, just absolute dog. I mean, mm-hmm. Hey, he got Rookie of the Year for a reason. It was a huge, you know, huge piece of that Rams edge, or just the Rams defense. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, let's give credit to TJ Watt, of course. I got him at number seven. He's still top 10. You know, he's still the master of sack timing. He's got those, you know, finesse moves. And, you know, obviously he's dipped a little bit. You know, it's just, I mean, he's getting a little bit old, as you said already. So, you know, it's not, I'm not trying to, you know, again, you know, put him down or anything. But, I mean, there's just a lot of younger talent coming in hot, you know, like Hutchinson, Parsons, Hendrickson. So it is what it is. But number eight, I'm going to go Max Crosby. He had an absolute just crazy year back in 2023. Things went, you know, a little down 2024, but I think he's still up there. I mean, he's got a crazy motor. He's elite. I mean, especially, again, playing for the Vegas Raiders is always
it's an adventure.
It's tough. Yeah, you know, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of these guys – they kind of stand out because they play on these interesting teams, you know, like Trey Hendrickson and, you know, and Max Crosby. So, no, but still, I mean, I got to give him respect. I mean, he's an absolute dog. I could easily see him, you know, in top five. I mean, this is where, again, it gets pretty fluid. Number nine, I'm actually going to go Will Anderson because of, you know, kind of the major year two leap, his PFF pass rush grade, you know, bump the big time. And I just feel like this is kind of just a, you know, an up and coming. I mean, he's already, you know, shown what he has in the tank, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what he actually also does this upcoming season. And then number 10, I'm going to go Greg Rousseau, you know, 10th in pressures this last season. Just overall consistent, I know he doesn't, you know, he's not some sack monster like some of these guys, but, you know, he's always there, you know, causing some sort of disruption. So got to give him credit. And then, yeah, honorable mention, Brian Burns, Josh Hines, Allen. And then also I want to highlight George Karlaftis from Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Yeah, look, 8 sacks, but 28 QB hits, 37 pressures. I mean, he is an absolute just beast power rusher. I know he doesn't always kind of, you know, win early and he can collapse in the pocket too. But, I mean, he was a big piece of that Chiefs defense, you know, that, you know, helped them, you know, in the playoffs and, you know, got him to that AFC title game and then the championship too. So, absolute dog. Again, young guy too. So, I mean, there's a lot of youth, you know, in this pass rush, you know, in this top 10. So that's what I'm really excited about is just seeing, you know, we got plenty of more of this coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not a position that ages gracefully, you know, like there's a lot of
attrition.
Yeah. Like if you're, you know, once you hit that 28 mark, it kind of feels like.
TJ Watt's like one of, I guess, maybe one of those exceptions, but
for sure. Yeah. There are definitely exceptions
on my list.
What's that?
I said, I got another exception on my list for sure.
I love it. Go for it. Give it to us.
So I'm going to keep TJ Watt at 6. I think that he could, Musab nailed it on the head. Really, like 3 through 10 are fluid. Like they could switch anywhere. TJ Watt, 90.1 pass rush grade, 5th time in 6 seasons that he's had a 90 plus.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me with him is his run defense. His run defense took a massive step forward. He actually got PFF's Run Defender of the Year with a 1.63 average yard average depth, which if you don't know what that is on tackles, it's however close you are to the line of scrimmage on when you make a tackle. So a smaller number means that you're in the play early, which is a good sign for a defensive lineman. And then he only accounted for 3.2% negatively graded plays, which is anytime a player has a negative play, it gets graded with PFF. And he only 3.2% of the time did he have that a negative grade. And that was by far the highest in the NFL. So for me, it was more so just his run defense. I think that he should be higher on the list. And it may have just been on me because I can't stand the Steelers as to why he's so low, but I've got him at 6, and I believe his name was Mr. Magic, has all the right in the world to be upset at that. I respect it. 7, I've got Jared Verse. Everything you guys said, defensive rookie of the year, 77 total pressures, 19.6% pass rush win rate. There we go. And an 81.0 run defense grade. He's young, and he's only going to get better, which I think is the crazy part. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be shocked if he's in the top 5 next year with how well he's played.
Absolutely.
8, I got Nick Bosa. Listen, he should be higher. I'll admit to it. 89.3 grade, tied for 3rd in win rates at 20%. But I cannot rank you any higher than 8th. You're lucky you got 8th when I see a 6-foot quarterback do what they did to you. So as much as I love Baker Mayfield, he shouldn't be stiff-arming any DN on a play like that, and he did it. So that bumps you down a whole bunch of spots. You're at 8 now.
Fantastic. I love it. I love it.
9, I've got Will Anderson. Again, everything was offset. 88.8 pass rush grade, 9th in the NFL. The big thing with him is – it all kind of came on late in the season. 5 of his best graded games were after week 12, which shows me, in my opinion, that you're growing. And the leap from year 1 to year 2 was massive. So respect on him, and he, you know, credit where credit's due. And then the ageless wonder at 10. I've got Khalil Mack, actually.
There you go. I love it.
90.2 overall PFF grade, and that comes out with a 87.7 run grade. Run defense grade, which was 2nd best in the NFL behind only TJ Watt. And then this is the 10th time in 11 seasons that he's had a 50-plus pressures. And the one season that he's not had 50-plus pressures was because he got hurt. So he just does not seem to slow. I mean, he's lost a step, like you can tell. But at the same time, put in the right system, he's shown that he can be that guy still. Like, he's still very, very good and helps the team win. My honorable mentions are everyone you guys mentioned: Brian Burns, Josh Hines-Allen, I do have Abdul Carter in there. I couldn't bring myself to put him top 10 yet because for me, an edge rusher, you got to prove yourself. Like I put Genty in my top 10 running backs last week, but I can't do that with an edge rusher because there's a shot that he falls off completely.
Yeah,
but I don't think he does. I think he's going to be very good, and we might be talking about a Jared Verse-esque season next year. Yeah, so those are my three.
Like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot, and I'm with you. It was easier, like definitely way easier to stomach Genty being a top 10 running back because that position group is just a lot lighter in talent. The pass rush group is just way deeper. Like there's a lot of really good guys that have been.
Yeah, in the NFL. It's insane looking at it. There was, like you said, Brian Burns not being on the top 10. Like it was kind of hard not to put him there. Like there was a bunch of guys. And I was like, oh, he theoretically could be there, but. Absolutely. I can't do it.
Yeah, and there's absolutely a case to be made for all of these guys, really. Yeah. I mean, for all the honorable mentions. Like, if someone was like, hey, I disagree. I think this guy's top 10. Like, oh, yeah, all right. I understood.
I can easily see this list, you know, just going up and down throughout the whole season. As you mentioned already, Carter, this is not a position that ages gracefully. You know, the injury bug has attacked a lot of these guys. And I was actually, you know, thinking about maybe tossing in one more guy. This is my if he stays healthy guy. That's Jalen Phillips from Miami.
Ooh, okay.
Just because he balled out in 2022. 70 pressures. Yeah. He was fifth in the NFL. 2023, I mean, he got 41 pressures in 11 games. And then 2024, he tore his ACL. I know. Yeah. Achilles, ACL, horrible. But you got 9 pressures. You got, you know, 9 pressures in 4 weeks. So,
you know what?
I feel like he could sneak in there if he stays healthy. I've heard that he's, you know, getting in some limited action and OTAs for the offseason so far. So
I believe they're still teammates. What about old Bradley Chubb?
Yeah, Bradley Chubb.
Stay healthy, man. He's not bad either.
No, yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because Miami also has Chop Robinson, a guy I had on my honorable mention. So that's a really good trio. If all three of them are healthy, they'll have a pretty good pass rush room. Like, will they have? Who are they going to have playing corner? I have no idea. You know,
Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, he's lining up to try to guard. You know, Khalil Shakur and all the really good wide receivers in that division. I don't know. But this is a great episode. This is a great list. I really enjoyed this position. I think this might be the most fun position. It's only downhill from here, right? No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, this is a fun group. This is a fun list. I don't know. I did have one question for y'all though, because I noticed we had a lot of similarities in terms of the stats we were citing and all that stuff. But you know, traditionalists might point to sacks and be like, "Hey, why aren't y'all talking about that?" Which we did for Trey Hendrickson. But I wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on that, like how you kind of thought through this list. Zach, I'll start with you, man. What was your thought process as you were making this list?
I mean, if you only look at sacks, like, yeah, you're gonna put Trey Hendrickson one, you're gonna put Myles Garrett second. Like, I just think that as an edge rusher, and I don't, get me wrong, I look at stuff like that, like in other positions, but when it comes to, in my mind, D-line, even though you're an edge rusher, you're still a D-lineman
for sure.
I think that run defense is just as important as your pass rush ability. We stated a lot of pass rush stuff, but like you touched on TJ Watt, while he's racking up big numbers and he's being relatively efficient, his win rate's pretty low.
Yeah.
So it's like you've got to look at all of it. You can't, in my opinion, you can't just go, well, he had 15 sacks. I don't know how many he actually had. I'm just throwing a number out.
I get you. Sure.
He had 15 sacks, so he's the 7th best player. Like, it just doesn't work that way in my mind, which is weird because when I look at, like, running backs and wide receivers and other positions, that's how I am. Like, I'm real big on what have you done for me? What are the results of what you do for me? But I think on the D-line, I got to look at more stuff like how efficient you are, how successful you are at what you're doing, and not just the big sack numbers, because you could get 20 half a sacks and that adds up to 10. And like, it's not as impressive as a guy who, in my opinion, has 10 solo tackles or solo sacks.
No, I get you. Yeah. I mean, that's you put it beautifully. Like, there's so much stuff that a defensive lineman can't control. You know what I mean? If it's a quick screen, a bubble screen, like, well, he might have gotten a win there, but like, it doesn't matter, and it doesn't.
You don't have time. Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't count towards the stat sheet because he wasn't able to get a sack out of it, or maybe a quarterback just throws it away. Like, well, that's a win. You know, like that's a huge impact. Like, even if he doesn't get there, throwing it away, while it's not as good as a sack, it's still pretty darn good. It's a waste of a play. You know, maybe you force a guy tipped ball drill and then a defensive lineman comes down with it. That's not technically a sack, but it's still a huge impact play, arguably more impactful than a sack.
Yeah. That's why you got to look at the pressure rate and the win rate more so than if you had 20 sacks, because if you win 25% of the time, or if you have a win rate or a win pressure percentage of 25%, dude, you're doing more damage on that offense than if you had 2 sacks that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you have a higher win rate, then it doesn't really matter what your sack total is, because theoretically you're setting up your teammates for sacks, or maybe you're just getting the quarterback to have happy feet and you're forcing him to throw inaccurate passes. Whatever the case may be, you're having a higher impact on the game. So, yeah, beautifully put. I'm absolutely with you. Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? What went into your mind? What was going through your brain as you were looking through this list?
I mean, I'm going to keep it real with y'all. I mean, this was definitely a very educational opportunity for me, you know, because, it's easy just to look at the sacks and all that. But, I mean, there are so many factors. First of all, the two things that, you know, I find most important are the total pressures. It's not just about the sacks. It includes the hurries, the QB hits, the knockdowns, you know, and we see that from Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons, you know, with 83 and Micah Parsons at 75. So, and then I think the big thing is what I learned was the whole pass rush win rate, you know, and, you know, if anyone doesn't know how that kind of works, is, you know, anyone who beats their blocker on a 2.5 seconds. But, you know, just because, you know, that happens, I mean, you go against Lamar Jackson or Jaden Daniels, you know, I mean, they're all shifty running around and all that. Yeah. Just because you don't sack them doesn't mean you didn't do anything. You know, I mean, you really damage, you know, you put some damage on that offensive line. You know, you're pressuring the hell out of them. You're making them run around in circles. Did he get the sack? No, but you did something. You know what I'm saying? So you deserve your flowers. So those are the two things I'm looking at. And then, yeah, I mean, you look at sack production, of course. And then I also kind of wanted to, you know, look at the snap efficiency, but also I was trying to focus, you know, we're target a little bit more the youth as well. That's, you know, kind of why I, you know, put TJ Watt down a little bit there, just because again, yeah, you know, this is not a, you know, a gracefully aging position. And I feel like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, some sophomores and rookies, you know, make some real damage in the top 10. Honestly, I can, you know, Abdul Carter, that's not a bad pick at all, Zach.
Not at all. Yeah, there's absolutely a world where Abdul Carter shoots into the top 5 immediately, because he was picked, you know, in the top 3 for a reason. You know, like he's one of the best edge rushing prospects in this most recent draft class. And I'm with you. And it's frustrating, especially when you talk to some, I don't want to say old heads, that makes me sound kind of ageist, but you know, people are like, oh, it's you gotta get there. You know, you gotta hit the quarterback. Like, you gotta get the sack. And like, I feel you. Like, you know, I can understand the frustration behind just setting aside sacks entirely, seemingly, but you don't necessarily do that. It's incorporated, but it's just, you know, it's not the only thing. It's not the end all be all, because you can do everything right and just not get credit for it.
Well,
you know?
And then, looking at it that way, it's like, if you look at Trey Hendrickson, like, he's on my list, he's 3. I would, even if he didn't have 17.5 sacks,
right,
still put him that high, because absolutely. Like, for you, Carter, you had Grenard there. His production stuff was low, but he was efficient. So, he was high on your list, not because of sack. So I think that it's – I understand the old head way of thinking, and I understand how, like, looking at stats, which is huge for me to say, because I am more of a what have you done for me, what can I see without having to research.
Sure.
But, I mean, it really comes down to – how you're helping the team. And it's kind of, I mean, it just, yeah, like,
it's, well, it's all the old heads. I mean, guys, the game has changed as well, especially, like, you know, for quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? This isn't, you know, your classic old, you know, quarterback.
You don't have your name.
Exactly. So, I mean, you got I mean, you have dudes like Patty Mahomes and Lamar Jackson just doing these, you know, miraculous things on the field, and you're like, holy crap. And it's, and you know, and you can't just be hard on the defense. I mean, the defense does sometimes they're there, but it's just like, you know, it's better defense, but just even a little bit better offense. Yeah. Yeah, lucky plays and things like that happen. So,
and I feel like it's important to mention, especially like Mr. Magic came in talking about TJ Watt, which, by the way, thank you for commenting. Like, you guys should do more of that.
Yeah. No.
This is not a. This is not a list of like who's the best in the league over the last 10 years. This is our prediction. Also, hello, Claire. How are you doing? The cookies from last season, or maybe it was two seasons ago, were phenomenal. But anyway, I think it's important to tell people, like, this list is what we're projecting for next season. It's not necessarily what we think, like, these guys' career marks are. Like, I would have Khalil Mack way higher than 10
if this was
career. Like, this is just a what we think they could be last or this season based off of last season. And I feel like that's kind of important to mention, because it's not a we're not ranking this based off what they have done for 12 years.
Yeah, if this was, you know, legacy or whatever the heck you want to call it, like Von Miller would be on my list.
Exactly.
Not really great anymore, but you know, he's had a tremendous career in terms of on the field stuff. So yeah, it is important to differentiate that, because that can be confusing. You know, it can be like, oh, well, are you talking about top 10 careers, or are you talking about top 10 just right now? And you do have to kind of differentiate that. And so that's an important point. But I'll be curious, just because you're saying a lot of stuff, Zach, that I am like, yes, perfect. That's awesome. I'm really curious to see how this will translate to other positions too, because I think we might disagree on certain positions and have some really healthy discussions there as well. So I'm really excited, and I hope you all stick around and tune in for those episodes, because we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some really good discussions. It's going to be really, really thought-provoking. I know it's football, so how thought-provoking can it be? But, you know, guys, right, in the context of football, you know, it'll be fun. Yeah, definitely stick with us. Give us a like or subscribe if you liked what you heard. Give us a follow at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Bucks. Definitely give us a follow there. We've got some great stuff coming across all of our channels. The Rays are heating up. Like Musab said, the Rowdies are doing well. The Sun just won a championship. So definitely check us out there as well. But we'll be back with you next week with another episode. But until then, and as always,
go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.